You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this Saturday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri, fighting the good fight, as always, at Gino underscore LOE. What's up, my man?
Not much, man. Just fighting off these Carson Wentz haters, fighting off the trolls,
trying to provide
some cold, hard facts these last couple days.
We've had a busy week on Eagles Twitter. Let's just say, I mean, after that Dallas loss, I thought the news week would be a little slow, but we've been in, it just, there's a civil war right now on Eagles Twitter.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I mean, the news came out that the medical staff like found out about this Wentz injury just last week, so everybody kind of flipped towards the medical staff in that regard, but still, like, people questioning Carson Wentz's toughness, saying he's injury prone, it's just all whole bunch of nonsense that we're not going to really put much energy into and just say what he can be going forward, and that's exactly what we have to look at, because he's going to be the guy, and it's why every executive around the league says he's going to have a record-setting contract in this offseason or next, and all the people in football know what they're talking about, say that he's going to be highly paid because he's a once-in-a-generation type of player.
Let me just say that when you watch this year and you look at the numbers he put up, we knew something was up because he was – our guy Justin Grass over at Inside the Eagles, he posted that tweet about Carson Wentz running against the Colts. And I was thinking about that all season long because I kept thinking – because we were talking about over the past couple of weeks on our shows, we've been saying, man, if they could just get Wentz going with running the football, with extending plays with his legs, that's really what the Eagles have been missing on offense. And every time I would say that, or you would say it, I kept thinking in my head, like, that first game, he was doing it against the Colts, what changed? And the back injury, it's not a good injury, of course. I mean, this is something that, you know, it comes with rest. There's not going to be any surgery needed. It's a little concerning that it's a back injury because those are pretty scary for a quarterback, but honestly, it makes me feel better because it wasn't just the leg. It was a back injury and I had Dr. Randon Hall on of the Injury Source. If any of you guys out there missed that podcast, you can find it on lockedoneagles.com, where Dr. Randon Hall basically said that mobility, even the lack of speed, when you see those read options he was keeping last week against Dallas, a lot of that pretty much he was pointing to was the back. Because I asked, is it common that after a torn ACL you lose a little bit of your speed? Is it something that you're going to get back? And he said, I don't even think, when you saw him running the football the past couple weeks, I think that slow progression from the Colts game up until now, when it comes to his mobility, has been all about the back. So honestly, Gino, I feel better about Wentz seeing what he did on a bad back and a ACL injury that is not fully healed yet.
Yeah, so at this current point in time, statistically, hoping that he doesn't come back, because I want that back injury to rest, shut him down, do what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers last year after they lost to the Panthers, just shut him down. It's no risk, to get him injured at this point, really. But as it sits, statistically, he is one of three quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that has thrown for, I think, 22 or 25 or more touchdown passes and single-digit interceptions. The only other two on that list are Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and I think Rube Frank from NBC Sports, who was pointing out all the positive Carson Wentz stuff this week, stuff that if you just look at on paper alone is just bananas. Like, look at his completions percentage this year. It's up almost 9 percentage points from last year when he was an MVP and completely healthy. He's doing this on 10 months rest off an LCL and an ACL tear and a broken freaking back. Imagine if he's 100%. It's just scary because, like you said, he was slower on the read options. He wasn't as mobile on the outside. You could see it in the Dallas game. He was missing throws on the run, which he doesn't generally miss. And
even like screen passes, you saw a couple of screen passes hit the running back's feet. There was just things you can notice, like, that's not Carson Wentz.
Yeah, 100%. And you see a lot of the tendencies that he had from 2016, where he was missing high, where he was throwing balls into the dirt. And that's all because of his, all the technique that he was going in, that he sorry, all the technique that he overhauled going into 2017, mm-hmm. you could see why he made that downfall this year, because he couldn't plant that leg. He had to use all his upper body, which probably didn't help the pressure in his lower back.
Right, I was going to say, if this back injury already happened, not to mention he's already making up for an injured leg, that had to have made the back injury worse, which, I mean, they said it evolved over time, so you got to think him overcompensating for the leg had to do more damage to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think about a quarterback, what their the entire body's connected. Like, you have to plant your leg to get to activate your hips, which will activate your back, which will activate your arm, and that'll activate the football. That's just how it is. Your entire body is just one long connected piece, and every part has to work. And if one part doesn't work, you're going to overcompensate in other areas. And you've seen that. I mentioned this before with Jason Peters, who has had injuries because he's overcompensated for other injuries. His Achilles injury, after he came back, he had that ACL injury, if I'm not mistaken, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But you see that all the time in players, especially in a league where you're getting battered around, that the human body is just not used to, especially a guy like Carson Wentz, who throws his body on the line. Just look at him in comparison to other mobile quarterbacks like RG3 or even a Michael Vick. Like, those guys are going to get hurt. But it was unfortunate that Carson had to be rushed back from this injury, because he definitely did overcompensate, and knew how bad he wanted to be on the field. So that's exactly what it was. I don't blame anybody outside of the medical staff.
You know what's interesting too, though? When we talk about, because you mentioned just the way he plays, sometimes he's going to be more prone for injuries, and that's really been the talk this week, is Carson Wentz injury prone? And even Doug Peterson talked about it in the press conference yesterday. But you look at the injuries that he has suffered, even in college, none of them came from his play style, which is encouraging to me. Whereas with guys like RG3 and even Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, rookie quarterbacks now in the NFL, taking hit after hit after hit as runners, that eventually is going to catch up to them, even for a big guy like Josh Allen and for a big guy like Carson Wentz. But you look at it, in North Dakota, he hit a helmet on a throw, which he hit his wrist. You look at the rib injury in the preseason, his rookie year with the Eagles. He was sticking in the pocket. A blitz hit him square in the ribs, hairline fracture. The torn ACL one, yeah, that's one where he was trying to make a play in one of the biggest games of the season.
But he threw a touchdown.
Yeah, but if you look at this
think
game,
about that.
Yeah, that's, which is unbelievable. And then you look at this year's injury. It could have come, we don't know exactly when it happened, it could have come from getting hit in the pocket, or it could have been something that was back soreness, just a stress injury that turned it into a fracture because of overcompensating for the leg by throwing the football different ways and, you know, making up for, and that's probably why his mechanics have been hurt as well. So it's not even a situation where his play style has put him in harm's way when you talk about these injuries, which is another reason that, to me, I don't think he's injury prone, is because in 3 years already, his play style has not gotten him into a whole lot of trouble, because I feel like he has been smarter than people give him credit for, when to take the necessary hits, when to actually take off and run, when to just use the legs and throw the football still down the field, looking down the field instead of after one read, just taking off. So I'm not too concerned about it. Let me ask you, before we move on to our next segment, should Wentz, so hypothetically, and the full stands out there are going to go nuts if Nick Foles and this Eagles team wins this football game, right, against the Rams. But let's say the Eagles find a way on Sunday night, and I'm not betting on it, but if they beat the Rams and they're at 7-7, they're looking pretty good with that sixth and final wild card spot, because the way they get in with the Panthers and Vikings losing a couple more games, it's pretty realistic. It's not something you should bet on, but I would not be surprised at all if the Eagles win this game if they are in the playoffs. Let's say they win this game, Nick Foles sticks in there, maybe they beat Houston, or they beat the Redskins, because there's even a scenario at 8-8 where they can get in. Let's just say they make the playoffs, Gino. That means to me the Eagles players, because if they're in, not only is Foles playing well, but if Foles is playing well, that means the coaching staff has bounced back, that means the players around him, the defense has gotten going. Do you consider, because it is a stress fracture, which Dr. Randon Hall, who joined me a couple days ago, said, if it's a stress fracture, it's a little bit more risky when it comes to putting him back in there this season. He still can. Do you consider putting him in there if the Eagles have a wild card game?
No.
No? It's tough for me, because like, I want him to have that playoff experience, but the injury can get worse. Let's make that clear for people, because there was some confusion this week on Twitter that once there is a break or a fracture, you know, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I've seen many people say that it can get worse. But man, I'd be so tempted to see him in a playoff game.
I would, but think about it. Foles, realistically, there's no way you can bring him back. At $20 million, you can't bring him back unless
But what if he goes – I mean, this thing, I almost want Wentz
you
to play
you
to,
cannot
just
do
to
it.
Avoid.
You can't do it. You cannot bring Foles back just because we're going to have this entire debate between Foles and Wentz for the rest of the time.
See, I just want him in because I don't want to have to deal with that. Even if,
I know.
I mean, there's
it
no
would,
way –
It would be nice to toss him in there, but one, they're not going to make it with 13 guys of their opening day roster
I'm
on the injured reserve. Like, yes, I understand the playoff perspective, but in the grand scheme of things, would I rather take – Wentz 100% for the next 13 years or Wentz at 85% for maybe the next 10 years, I'll take him at 100%.
Right, because we're going to be in the play. He has many playoff games ahead of him in his career.
Yeah, he's in his third year. He's just turning 26. You have a nice top-heavy draft this year where you have three picks in the top 64 picks. Go out, get him a weapon on the outside, beef up your defense a little bit more. Get him a running back, and you have a lot of building blocks signed through 2021 and 2022. You're going to have Carson Wentz, you're going to have Zach Ertz, you're going to have Fletcher Cox, and there's a whole gamut, Alshon Jeffrey. You're going to have Lane Johnson. You're going to have solid pieces in place for the next 4 to 5 years. And the cap, it just went up, what, $4 or $5 million?
It actually, the NFL announced, I think it was up $10 million from last year.
$10 million? Yeah,
yeah, so $10 million.
Especially if they get a new TV deal. You don't know. Anything can happen. But you're going to have money to throw around once a lot of these big contracts come off the books. Jason Peters is going to retire. You're going to get Nick Foles. Take Carson Wentz and build around him. Don't build around the present right now. Like, you don't want to risk it all for right this second. Like, yes, maybe Nick Foles can win maybe a playoff game. Like, I don't expect them to catch lightning in a bottle like they did last year.
I was going to say, this team is not what they were last year. Foles,
no, absolutely
Foles
not.
Didn't have to carry that team last year. This year, it almost feels like he would have to do that. And even if they got it going, even if they made the playoffs, I don't see that same magic happening. Because even Nick Foles, let's be real, guys, like, he wasn't – when we watched those first two games, and it's different because they had DeAndre Carter playing a receiver and Kamar Aiken, right?
Yep, you got
See, exactly. I don't even know. I mean, so they did have – so it they had weapons in there that weren't even really weapons for Foles, but you saw he was not the same player. That is what Foles is. He's a lightning-in-the-bottle type player. I just don't want to deal with the fact that – if the Eagles did do that and put Wentz in, say if they made the playoffs, and Nick Foles played really well down the stretch, there would be people that go crazy. And it's just that whole thing makes me – the people out there that start that kind of stuff, it ruins the Foles love for me, because we should be excited that even if the Eagles don't make the playoffs, we get to see Foles kind of finish off his Eagles career playing on the field. Because it was weird having him just as a – like, oh, there's that Super Bowl MVP that's just as a backup on the same team. It was kind of a weird dynamic. So, but the people out there, the crazy Foles stands, it makes me just kind of dread it would make a run with Foles just less fun. Because I don't think there's – the Eagles – themselves, unless the Foles won another Super Bowl, and even then so, I don't think they would consider going with Foles over Wentz in the future, but there, that's going to be a debate still, and that to me, I don't want to deal with anymore. I can't, because it stinks. We should be loving Nick Foles right now, and instead, a lot of us have grown tired of him, and that's not even really his fault.
No, yeah, that's what it is, but I'm not going to let it divide us. I still love Nick Foles. It's going to be fun to watch him play again. Hopefully he can have a pretty good game. I don't expect them to come out and beat the Rams, let's be honest. Like, with the amount of injuries, it's just not going to happen.
Are we in for another Saints game? Is that what we're dealing with?
Hopefully not on national TV. I really hope not. But, like you said, Nick Foles, he'll be fun, but you don't want to see it again. I don't think it's going to happen again. And honestly, if they lose this week, I want to see Nate Sudfeld. Like, I want to see what that kid can do. Like, give him some weapons and let him go ball the last two games.
I'm interested about this because, so Sudfeld, yeah, he's a promising prospect as a potential long-term backup, maybe even someone you can trade down the road as a starter. But another why I would still maybe, even if they lose this game, to me, the Eagles, if Foles, say they lose this game and Foles looks really bad, then, okay, put Sudfeld in the next 2 weeks. Let's see what we got in him. But if they lose and Foles still plays really well, I kind of want to give him those two games to convince another NFL team to give him a starting job next year or to give him a shot at that, because that raises the Eagles comp pick next year. And I think that to me is worth more, because I think no matter what, we know that Sudfeld is a promising guy. I mean, if he plays better the next two games, it would make you feel better. But I think getting that comp pick raised by Foles getting a really good gig next year, because right now, let's face it, right now, if he did not play these final three games, I don't know if a team's giving him a shot as a starter next year. Even with winning the Super Bowl last year, those first two games, I think, hurt his stock. I think it'd be interesting to see if he plays really well down the stretch what another team would do, and that could get the Eagles a pretty decent compensatory draft pick.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to think about it. So if we think about it in that perspective, I still don't think that they're going to get to the playoffs one way or another. But
no,
if he does play well and they want to toss him out there for another audition, go ahead. That's fine with me. I just, for my own personal being, want to see Nate Sudfeld be able to carry a backup role when called upon. And he's never really had weapons when he's played in those games. You know, he's been that fourth preseason game guy who's been playing with guys like Kamar Aiken. And
you put
just
some respect
whole
on Marcus Johnson's name, sir.
Yeah, exactly. But just give him the chance, because there's no way you could bring Foles back at the price that you currently have him at with a very, very light quarterback or draft class. Maybe a team gives him Foles a shot, so you're not going to bring him back. Hopefully he goes out on top. I mean, he did what he had to do. There's no question that Carson Wentz is the future. Living in Buffalo,
not if
I think
you read
we
Twitter, my friend.
Dude, I know. We're not going to go to that.
I saw, real quick before we move on, I saw a tweet that threw up a scenario of trading Carson Wentz to the Giants for Saquon Barkley and a first round pick, and Nick Foles.
That's never going to happen.
It's seeing tweets like that makes me want to delete my Twitter account, honestly.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But just being, like I was saying, just being in Buffalo, a team that has been starved for so many years of a quarterback that just finally has a glimmer of one. Josh Allen, I don't think he's good, but they appreciate what he is because they give him something. We take Carson Wentz for granted. It's an absolute joke. The guy had an MVP season last year, statistically had a better season this year, and he's still getting downgraded and like looked down upon. It doesn't make any sense, but I hope he recovers well. Let him rest. Let him and the wide receivers and the boys go out to North Dakota this summer. Let him throw around. They didn't have that last year. Give him a full training camp. Get him some more weapons. Get him a running game that's better than the 28th ranked run game. Get him a healthier offensive line, and this team will be able to be a dynasty, which Carson Wentz, if you want to talk about dynasties, he's won two out of the last four championships in seasons that he's played in. So, yeah, that's just a fact for everybody if you want to just get into semantics. So, Carson Wentz, he's going to lead this team to be a dynasty. The discussion's over. Nick Foles is gone after this year. I'm sorry I had to lead to this. I love Nick Foles. Appreciate everything he's done, but thank you for your service, bud. See you never.
Yeah, so what's funny, too, is that Carson Wentz, to me, the first 2 years, like, he was the golden child, right? I don't think an Eagles fan base loved a player as much as they defended Wentz as much. It really, Brian Dawkins to me was the last one, and suddenly I'm not saying he's become the next Donovan McNabb, but I didn't expect people to get as hard on Carson Wentz as they've been this season. When you see how the fan base treated him the first 2 years, definitely an interesting dynamic. I think, of course, Nick Foles finishing the job that Carson Wentz started last year, winning the championship, has a lot to do with that. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When me and Gino come back, we're going to talk about what the hell happened at that press conference yesterday and what happened with that training, with the medical staff, what's going on with the Carson Wentz injury news, because it was foggy. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Guys, we all know watching football is pretty damn fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. You've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit on all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. You got college basketball and football, the NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports. You name it, MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year round. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is extremely easy to use. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. Again, that's at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention that they've given away anywhere towards $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON25 and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, and you get paid. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second segment of this Saturday edition of Locked On Eagles, one day away from the Sunday night matchup. The Eagles on the road in L.A. against the Rams, a rematch of last year's crazy game that, you know, of course, we all saw Carson Wentz tear his ACL and LCL in that one, but an awesome win that clinched the NFC East, a memorable one, a bittersweet one, and we're excited for that game to see Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP, maybe try to get this Eagles team back in the playoff hunt. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. So, Gino, that would be the talk this week, was about this matchup with the Rams. Maybe Wentz Goff. But with Wentz getting injured, it started a whole stir on Eagles Twitter and in the Eagles media, the stories, because of how shady the Eagles were with this injury, with the process of how they discovered the injury, with the press conference yesterday of Doug Peterson. Dude, what the hell happened yesterday? I mean, I just, Doug Peterson getting so fired up, the secrecy of the team when it comes to this injury and the injuries all year long, just the question marks. I don't even understand, because a report from John Clark of NBC Philly said that there was an MRI done earlier this season. They didn't see the fracture, and everyone decided to keep playing, which is understandable, although it's the franchise quarterback and a cautious approach I would never blame them for. But I totally get Carson Wentz probably saying, like, in the middle of a playoff run during the season where the Eagles still have a chance, Wentz being like, you're not pulling me because of this. I mean, you saw how hard he worked to get back this year. He missed out on winning that Super Bowl last year, so I get that part. But why didn't they just come out and say that? Why have they been so shady with it? To me, it's only made things worse.
Yeah, I think something happened behind the scenes that we're never going to be let into.
We need a documentary of this. ESPN,
you know,
30 for 30.
How much I've been questioning this medical staff. Like, I've thrown out hints and I've thrown out things throughout these podcasts over the last few weeks that I don't trust them. Like Sidney Jones, like, I knew something was up with that. The whole Darren Sproles thing, no hamstring should take that long. Like
the Jalen Mills thing?
Jalen Mills, that was
day
shady.
To day
all of a sudden
and then
he has
IR?
A walking boot. Like, that made no sense. So this organization, the medical staff with this organization just does not rub me the right way. And I haven't got around to listening to it yet, but the Inside the Birds podcast with Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan, you know I always love talking about that. Adam Kaplan provides some great insight. Apparently Adam Kaplan, or Jeff Mosher, sorry, said that with 100% certainty, he can say that there are players in the locker room that do not trust the medical staff.
It's why a lot of them are getting second opinions.
Yeah, exactly. And you heard, I know people don't put much stock into Emmanuel Acho, but players have been coming out to his support and saying that they've had to go outside the organization to get second opinions. Guys like Earl Wolf and a couple like Travis
Julian
Long.
Julian Vandervelde, some throwback names.
Yeah, so that's not great, and I can understand that. I mean, when you're a corporation and you want to put the best product out every Sunday to sell tickets, I can understand that. Like, it makes total sense. But in dealing with your franchise quarterback, this is the last straw for me. You have to fire everybody in there. The fact that they couldn't recognize this and that they have some of the best doctors and hospitals in the world in Philadelphia is just pure negligence. Like, I don't know what happened behind those doors, but to get to this point to where it led to a stress fracture, and every doctor saying, especially the football doctor, he always says that a stress fracture is the last thing you want a quarterback to have and that it'll be persistent throughout his career. So whatever happened behind those closed doors was not good. You know, Doug was not prepared to talk about it. They should have sent up somebody from either Howie or a medical professional to talk about it, because he should have never been put in that scenario, and you know he didn't want to talk about it, but that's what it was led to, and there's got to be some clarification this offseason.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand, is why can't Howie Roseman or the medical staff just talk to the media to clear this up. I mean, even if there isn't, like, say, look, and I've had a couple doctors, I have a family member that's in the medical department, and I've seen on Twitter some friends have tweeted at me that their brothers who played football have suffered this injury, and that it is hard to detect early on. But I also heard from Dr. Ann Hall and a few other people that maybe the Eagles didn't do everything to try and detect this, that they didn't think this might be a possibility because they just did an MRI and the CT scans came later on. Again, I'm not a doctor, but that's the problem, is we have people like me and you speculating about medical stuff, and it makes a medical staff that's taken a huge hit this year when it comes to publicity, it's made them look even worse. And Doug Peterson getting mad yesterday, I totally understand why he was frustrated, but him getting upset makes it seem like you have something to hide. I don't know if you ever did it when you were a kid, but like, you ever think when you got caught, you kind of acted mad that they caught you as if to make it seem like they did something wrong? That's what I was getting yesterday. It's like, why are you the one getting fired up? The secrecy, why be secret? For an advantage towards the Rams? Were those 4 hours of Wentz being questionable and then finally being listed doubtful, did those 4 hours make a big, big difference when it comes to the Rams' game plan? Like, were the Rams scrambling after that? I'm picturing the SpongeBob video of all the SpongeBobs running around with papers flying around. I mean, for 4 hours, what's the purpose of being so secretive? They've been doing this all year long, not just with Wentz, like the Jalen Mills thing. I mean, that just randomly happened where Doug Peterson's talking and it seems like he's going to be back Monday night against the Redskins. I was expecting that. And then he's on IR. I don't know if it's because, and look, Doug Peterson does not oversee that department. So the communication there is clearly off. We know that for sure.
And that's what I think it is.
That's a problem. Is like, if you're gonna put your head coach out there, right? If you're gonna have the GM and the medical staff hide and not talk to the media, and you're gonna put the head coach out there and not prepare him, that's really bad. I don't know what their motivation is, but it has not been worth it because it's made Doug look bad this week. It's made the medical staff look bad. It's made the Eagles look bad. And like you said, some of the players have to be concerned. Wentz is going to see a second opinion. And there's been talk. I saw someone from 97.5, the Fanatic, had a source that said that some players are not happy with the medical staff. And this Wentz situation has kind of caused a ruckus in the locker room. So, man, I don't know. I mean, even the stuff making up, saying, you know, Doug kind of contradicted himself in the press conference, saying that it's evolved over time. But right after that, he said that Wentz was 100%, and that's why he was taken off the injury report, which Peterson clearly thought was probably the case because he was calling read option plays for Wentz last week. So the contradiction there, it all just seems like you're trying to hide something. I don't know what it is, but man, it all smells real fishy to me.
Yeah, I think, especially with Carson Wentz, I think that was like the last straw for a lot of the players. Like, he's their guy. Everybody knows it. Like, Jordan Matthews even like said that he's dealing with a lot, and they know. Like, you could tell. Like, they're friends. These guys are friends. They talk. Like, if you don't think they're talking about how bad that medical staff is, like, you're out of your mind. Like, once one guy goes in there, Jalen Mills, for example, or Darren Sproles, and they just can't get on the field. And guys that battle through injuries, like Darren Sproles has done it his whole career. Jalen Mills battled through some last year. These guys can battle through some injuries, but just to do them to the disservice of not getting them back on the field in a proper manner is just, it's negligence, and you have to get rid of them. I don't know how you can keep them. And there's going to have to be a talk with Howie Roseman or whoever hired that medical department. And they fired their old medical department right after the Super Bowl. So whatever they're doing in there is not right. So they need to go outside of the norms and figure something out. I read somewhere that their team doctor doesn't even travel on road trips with them.
And they're one
of
the few teams that actually, I mean, I feel like every team has their team doctor travel with them.
Uh-huh. I don't know how true that is, but if it's not, that's really skeptical to me, and I don't know. I don't want to speculate on anything, but I just think something has to be done in that department. That all these doctors are saying that it should have been caught, but man, it's just unfortunate for Carson to be put in this situation. But rest him, it can get better. I have a buddy, like you said, you know, a lot of people that have went through this injury that, if you rest, you get the proper rest, you can keep it fine. You'll just get a little bit of back soreness every now and then. And you see how good they did with Elshon's rotator cuff last year. Just give him some yoga, give him some stretching, and they can maintain that. But keep him far away from that medical staff.
That's the thing is I'm concerned with. I mentioned earlier on the show him potentially coming back if they were to crazily make the playoffs. But I don't know if I trust his medical staff to look at him on the field, evaluate him, and be like, okay, actually, he's struggling right now with this back thing. We got to pull him. I mean, when was it Tuesday that they realized maybe this is a stress fracture and we should do a CT scan? Because some of the things Doug Peterson said made it seem like that's what was what happened. And by saying he was 100% before that. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on in there, but I'm waiting for the documentary. I'm waiting for the press conferences with Howie Roseman. I'm waiting for some leaks of what's going on because there's some fishy stuff inside the NovaCare complex. Let's take one final break here. When we come back, all this Wentz injury-prone talk, the crazy stories that have been circling around the Eagles this week with Wentz, the injuries, the medical staff, it's gotten Rams Twitter going about Wentz versus Goff. We're going to take on that next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that really loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat, heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockdown and use the promo code LOCKDOWN at checkout to save 20% off. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Eagles, final segment of this Saturday edition. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. So, Gino, Eagles Twitter has not been the only annoying NFL Twitter this week. And they've kind of caused the other ruckus. But Rams Twitter has been living it up this week, thinking that they got it right in 2016, taking Jared Goff over Carson Wentz with the first overall pick. This was something that, you know, obviously people were speculating. Did the Eagles move up to number two, knowing what the Rams were going to do? I was happy that it was Carson Wentz. I think the Eagles, they said they were happy with both. They moved up to number two for Carson Wentz, if you ask me. I think they were convinced that Goff was going number one. And now, because of the injury-prone label that Eagles Twitter has kind of created this week, Rams Twitter has taken that. The national media, of course, which always looks in on the local markets, they pick up this stupid narrative. And now people are saying, like, man, the Rams, they dodged a bullet taking Goff instead of Wentz. I don't know about you, man, but and I was asked this on the crossover edition on Wednesday with Locked On Rams, but I still do not regret the decision. If you look at the numbers this year, Wentz on a down year, quote-unquote, dealing with a bad back and a bad leg, has a better completion percentage, a better passer rating, and a better touchdown to interception ratio than Jared Goff. I understand that the injuries for Wentz have come more so than Jared Goff, but I am 100 times out of 100 taking Carson Wentz over Jared Goff.
100% agree, and I think everything happens for a reason. I think Doug Peterson came in and needed a quarterback, and the impression he left in that draft room was too much for them to pass up, so that was exactly what they needed, and Jeff Fisher liked what he saw in Jared Goff, and Sean McVay got the guy he wanted all along, so everything worked out. But I'm always all in on Carson Wentz. I thought it was the right move. Here's a little thread you and I have talked about. Yep. This is from at Sixers Mode. This is just career statistics against top 10 passing defense. It compares Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, and Jared Goff. For purposes of time, we will just stick with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. Wentz, over 11 games, is 259 out of 394 attempts. That's a 65.7 completion percentage, averaging 284 yards a game with 27 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Goff, on the same metrics, in 9 games, is 191 of 309, which is a 61.8 completion percentage, 278 yards per game average with 15 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So not only is Wentz throwing 5 less interceptions, but he's also throwing 12 more touchdowns than Jared Goff. So in my opinion, in games that it matters, Carson Wentz comes up big. And just think about it. Going back to 2016, I still think Jared Goff had better weapons that year. I still think he has better weapons
now. Yeah,
the
Eagles didn't even have a Kenny Britt that year. I mean, that's how bad it was for the Eagles.
Yeah, it was atrocious. And I still think on the outside they have better weapons in Los Angeles. So for Carson to do that against stud defenses is rather impressive. And like I said, I think Sean McVay and Jared Goff have a very good yin and yang. They bounce off of each other really well. McVay knows how to scheme open Jared Goff. Jared Goff knows how to make those throws. I don't know if Carson Wentz would be as successful
in
that
style
offense.
Yeah, and I think it's not that Wentz is a worse player, but again, what I liked about him, why I did not want Goff, honestly, I was going to tell people that I was happy with either quarterback, but I had that feeling in my gut when the Rams were taking a long time. I'm like, please don't take Carson Wentz, because his abilities outside of a system are what I want in a franchise quarterback, and it's what a lot of teams want. That's why teams are taking Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So to me, that's why, I mean, I'll take some of the injuries here and there. I think Wentz has proven that he can, with his style of play, he can protect himself better than people give him credit for with this narrative floating around on Twitter this week. And you mentioned the top 10 defense stat. Dude, just this year, he doesn't have a Todd Gurley. He doesn't have a Sean McVay. Doug Peterson, I think, play calling wise, last year he should have been coach of the year over Sean McVay, but this year he has not been close to Sean McVay's performance as a head coach. Regardless of that, Wentz has 12 touchdowns and 2 picks against top 10 defenses, and a 69.1% completion percentage, averaging over 300 yards in those games. Goff, 12 touchdowns, 6 picks, 65% completion percentage, and 329 yards per game. So not bad numbers either. But like, and this is supposed to be a down year for Wentz. This is a year where all of Eagles Twitter is getting on him. I don't know what Rams Twitter is talking about, man. I think it's, again, they read what crazy people are overreacting about this week, and I think they take that and they're like, man, glad we got our boy Jared Goff. And, you know, Jared Goff's a lot better of a quarterback than I gave him credit for. But again, you flip the script right now. Jared Goff in this offense, not posting the numbers that Carson Wentz did this year. And that just shows the special kind of talent that Wentz is.
I agree 100%. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Jared Goff is strictly a system quarterback. I think he could do well in other systems, but I think this system fits him best.
And I think
understandable,
he's
understandable, and it's great.
And I think he's closer to a system quarterback than, like, last week against Chicago. That offense, the Bears had that offense broken. And Goff wasn't making up for that. When all of the offense breaks down and your talent around you is struggling and the run game's not going, Goff didn't even come close to lifting that team. He was turning the football over like crazy. Wentz, we've seen multiple times throughout his career, he has elevated the play of a team that maybe in that game didn't deserve to be in it.
For sure. I think the Seattle game last year is a very good game to look at.
Yep.
They didn't end up winning that game, but who kept them in that game? Do you remember that throw to Nelson Aguilar, where he's
like
going
yesterday
across the grain? Or was it Zach? No, he had another unbelievable. It was Zach Ertz? Yeah, so whoever
no,
it was.
For both.
Yeah, there were two good passes in that game. I remember one to Zach Ertz, one to Nelson Aguilar. I always get it confused, but that play alone just shows you how magical he is. Like, he does Patrick Mahomes style stuff, which I don't think Jared Goff does. Patrick Mahomes right now is doing things NFL quarterbacks have never done. And I think Carson Wentz is a very good comparison to Pat Mahomes. And I like that style of play, because if the system does break down, yes, they will get very, very skeptical on throws, but sometimes you have to bet big to win big, and those guys will do it. And I'm 100% all in on Carson Wentz. He's going to be our quarterback for years. Everybody, if you're off the Wentz wagon, see ya. I hope you don't need any water on the trip home, because all of us on the Wentz wagon are going to reap the rewards of sticking with our ginger Jesus, who's going to take us to the promised land one day.
We should require all Foles stands to follow Foles wherever he goes next year. So let's say Nick Foles is the starter next year in Jacksonville. They got to go there, and they got to deal with what Foles gives you, because that's how they think Foles is going to come in this week, and the offense is suddenly going to be solved, as if Wentz was the problem. And to me, Wentz was one of the only things keeping this Eagles team up this year. I mean, you talk about, you know, him elevating the play of this Eagles team, where sometimes Goff doesn't do that. Just look at the first Dallas game on Sunday Night Football. That team, offensively, Dallas had them figured out. Dallas's defense, Leighton Vander Esch, mm-hmm. had Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson figured out. Wentz in that fourth quarter kept them in the football game. And I don't think Jared Goff does that a whole lot. He has had some big moments this year. I'll give it to him against the Vikings and against the Chiefs. But Carson Wentz does it a whole lot more. And like you said, I love it that those type of guys are willing to take shots in games that a lot of the times the typical, prototypical pocket passer, system quarterback, that Goff is not a system quarterback, but he is the type of quarterback that, to me, takes what a defense will give him and a lot of the times doesn't make things work, doesn't will a play to happen. And you, like you said, you mentioned the Seattle game. Those two, the Nelson Aguilar touchdown in that game where Wentz is running across the right side of the field, throws it all the way down to the left side for Aguilar for a touchdown. You'll get the Aguilar play that game as well where Wentz is falling down and chucks a 50-yard bomb. Those are plays that only a couple people have been able to do in the NFL for the past, like, 20 years. And that's what I want in a guy. So, I don't know, man, but I'm happy with our boy.
Yeah, 100%, like you said. And just think about it, guys. He did all of this year, which I still think he had some very good throws and a lot of throws that he missed solely because of this injury. Like, there's on those wheel routes, he couldn't plant his leg. He had to use his upper body a lot more. When he gets everything together and when he's 100% returned to his form, man, he should be by rights completing at least 73% of his passes with at least 40 touchdowns and maximum 15 interceptions.
That's what I'm
a
saying
year.
Is like how much, I mean, Jared Goff, his big thing is accuracy. Wentz this year, his accuracy took a huge step up. So when we're talking about pocket passers in general, Wentz and Goff, there's not that big of a difference. So what does Goff do a whole lot better than Carson Wentz outside of maybe staying more healthy, even though Wentz has played 40 or 45 games? So I'm with you, dude.
Yeah, 100%. And don't get hung up on the injury-prone nonsense. If you look at it, he would have played through that rib injury his first year. The knee thing was just a fluke.
Too.
Yeah, he would be playing through a back injury
five
if
right
it
now,
really mattered. 100%.
I mean, if they beat the Panthers and Titans, dude, he's playing this week.
100%. I agree. But like I said, this is too big of an injury to risk, one, the health of him as a person, and two, the health of the franchise. Put him on the IR. Don't even question that if he can come back. Let him get the rest. He worked his ass off in the offseason to get back. Give him the benefit of the doubt and give the guy what he deserves and let him rest. Just that's what he needs. You knew how much pressure there was coming off of the last season's performance into this season. You knew he was going to try to rush back from the injury. You knew he was going to try to make plays that he shouldn't be making. And you knew what it led to. It led to this back injury, and it's unfortunate. So I thank him for doing this service of being a hell of a player, being a guy with giant cojones to go out there with a broken freaking back and put his life on the line for this franchise. I love Carson Wentz. I'll come out and say it. Get better, man, because he definitely deserves it.
Absolutely, Gino. Well said. I think that's a good way to wrap it up here on this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for everyone that tuned in. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at Gino_LOE, and myself at DiBiase_LOE. We're going to tweet out that DraftKings link. We got a special crossover tournament on DraftKings.com with Locked On Rams. So I'll tweet that out at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase_LOE, and Gino as well, at Gino_LOE. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. We'll see you tomorrow with the Eagles postgame show. Let's hope we're recapping a upset victory in LA. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.